athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event, then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
I think very deeply.
In about 4 seconds, a teacher will begin to speak.
I think very deeply.
Thank you for joining me on another edition of Box to Row. Thoughts and prayers are with those affected by Hurricane Helene. And I mean, particularly here in our state of North Carolina and the western part of the state, in particular in Asheville. And when a storm like that comes as far west, it's, you know, those storms generally, at least from what I've read, they generally don't come as much inland. And for that storm to come inland to this part of the state, especially to Asheville, I mean, so many people have passed on. I was talking about trying to go, the foliage, when you go out west, going that way into Asheville. And I've never been to Asheville. It's about a five-hour drive from here in Raleigh. I talked about going there for the foliage sometime this month, next month. Wow, unbelievable. Thoughts and prayers with those affected all over by this hurricane, and of course in the state of North Carolina, those in the western part of the state, and in Asheville. I'll tell you what, this has been a tough week. You talk about famous people, if you will, that passed away. Dikembe Mutombo, John Amos, the actor, famous actor from Good Times, from Roots, etc. You talk about Pete Rose passed away. And then you talk about even the last time we talked, Kris Kristofferson. Like, you know, as I get older, it just, you know, when you're young and, you know, you're in your 20s and even your 30s, you know, unless somebody very close to you has passed away, sometimes it doesn't really hit you until you begin to be older, have people that are close to you pass away, and then you really start to kind of understand that death. And look, nobody's going to live forever. Obviously, we understand that. But wow, I mean, what a week with those names that I just mentioned. So our thoughts and prayers are with the families of those that were just mentioned. By the way, you know, we don't talk a lot of baseball here on Box to Row, but boy, I tell you what, Pete Rose should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame. I mean, I get it. He was banned for life from Major League Baseball for betting while he was a manager for the Reds, and by the way, betting for his team to win. I'm not saying that's right. You know, betting, and look, as time has gone on, betting has become a little bit more lax, not in terms of betting for your as a player or someone that's involved with a team, but now this sports gambling piece is like really, really big. I mean, look, he should have, and for so many years, because he would not admit to having bet on baseball, he finally did bet on baseball. He finally admitted that he bet on his own team, the Reds, to win games. And I mean, I understand that part of it, but there's no way. I mean, look at these numbers. I mean, look, first of all, he's the all-time hits leader. We'll probably never see anyone break this record. I mean, you know, records are made to be broken, but 4,256 hits, a lifetime batting average of .303, 17-time All-Star, 3-time World Series champion. He was the NL MVP In 1973, the World Series MVP. In 1975, he was the NL Rookie of the Year. In 1963, two-time Gold Glove winner, Charlie Hustle. I mean, no way in the world. I got it. And I had this this discussion, I think going back maybe, I don't know, it's been 7-8 years ago or more, why I was talking about Alex Rodriguez and why he should not be in the Hall of Fame and why Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. And while I understand that both, and not just Alex Rodriguez, a number of players, while I understand that both cheated, it was much different. I mean, when you're using performance-enhancing drugs, I mean, and if I had a vote, I cannot vote you. You have now, there's a stain there to me as far as I'm concerned. And I think what's interesting with the dynamic with Pete Rose and some of these other players that use performance-enhancing drugs, we may see some of those players get into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Now, could we see Pete Rose? I mean, maybe. I think in particular now that he's passed on, unfortunately, it's going to be posthumously. But look, I mean, I read all those numbers off. World champion. I mean, again, in pro sports, did you win? Well, I gave you the numbers, but I also told you that he won 3 World Series championships, all 3 of which, had he not been part of those teams may not and probably would not have won those championships. Pete Rose should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame. You got to put him in the Hall of Fame. Look, got a good show for you today here on Box to Row. T.C. Taylor is the head football coach at Jackson State. He's going to join us today on the program. Jackson State ranked number 4 in the HBCU coaches poll, ranked number 3 in the HBCU media poll. A big win over Texas Southern after really getting blown out a couple of weeks ago by Grambling. So T.C. Taylor, the head football coach at Jackson State, going to join us today here on the program. Speaking about Grambling, of course, you think about the Washington Commanders, and I'm telling you, the Commanders are playing well behind rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels. Can you believe he's completing 81% of his passes on the season? And these aren't like little nickel and dime type of pass. I mean, he's not throwing it deep every time, but these aren't nickel and dime type of 2-3-4 yard passes. The Commanders are throwing the football down the field. Anyway, one of the touchdown passes that Jaden Daniels threw going back a couple of weeks ago with that Monday night victory over Cincinnati was to Trenton Scott, the offensive lineman for the Commanders, played his collegiate ball at Grambling. So Trenton Scott going to join us today here on Box to Row. We had Trenton Scott on the program going back now, maybe 3 years ago, right before the Panthers and the Commanders played back in 2021. And at that time, he was playing for the Carolina Panthers. So Trenton Scott also going to join us today here on the program. We got plenty of talk when it comes to week 6 in HBCU football. We can wrap up week 5. We're going to look at the HBCU National Game of the Week. We've got some really good games that are coming up this week. You can look in the CIAA. Yeah, you can look in the SWAC. You've got some pretty good games that are, in fact, coming up. So we're going to talk about all of that today here on the program. May talk a little National Football League today here on the show. The HBCU National Players of the Week, West Virginia State running back Joel Felder, was really, really good in West Virginia State's victory over West Virginia Wesleyan. He had 182 multi-purpose yards, 3 total touchdowns in the game as West Virginia State now 3-1 on the season. And then also Alcorn State defensive back Edwin Sommerauer, also HBCU National Player of the Week, 3 interceptions. Count them, 3 interceptions in the Braves' victory over Mississippi Valley State. I mean, I think the leading interceptor in the SWAC last year, it was like four. Like a couple of guys had four interceptions. He had three in one football. As a matter of fact, he's got four on the season, leads FCS in interceptions. So those two young men are HBCU National Players of the Week. You can learn more about them, not just in terms of what they did on the field, but also some other things you may not have known about them on our website, BoxToRow.com. So we're excited about our conversations. Again, we're going to have as guests today, T.C. Taylor of Jackson State, the head football coach, and Trenton Scott, the offensive lineman for the Washington Commanders. I tell you what, the Commanders are playing some pretty good football. You talk about a quarter of the way through the NFL season. A surprise team. I didn't know. I thought the Commanders would be as good as the quarterback was. And we see that the quarterback's good, thus the Commanders are good. Have won three straight games. Really, really playing some good football behind Jaden Daniels. Now, I say playing some good football. That's not entirely true. Offensively, playing some good football. Defense, not so much, although the defense did come to play in the victory on Sunday over the Arizona Cardinals and really bottled up Kyler Murray. I think the Cardinals were able to run the football a little bit, move it a little bit, but not enough to only be able to score 14 points. Meanwhile, the Commanders scored, 42, 45 points, whatever it was. It's got to be the surprise team through the first quarter of the NFL season. Now, you know, if you're a Commanders fan like I am, look, I'm taking it game by game. The next game or the next team on the schedule is this Sunday against Cleveland in the DMV in Maryland, Landover. As a matter of fact, going to be at that game, looking forward to it. But look, you're taking this thing one game at a time. You know, you can't afford to look ahead. As well as Daniels is playing, as well as that offense is playing, and especially being able to move the football and run the football also, you've got to take it one game at a time. And we've got some good games on the schedule, as a matter of fact, for week five of the National Football League. Still to come here on the program, Jackson State head football coach T.C. Taylor and Commanders offensive lineman Trenton Scott. Keep it locked.
Yo, what's good? This is your boy Big Daddy Kane, for those that can spell it. BIGDADDYKANE.
Drop some smooth lyrics. It's 88. Time to set it straight. You know,
and you're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
Rappers stepping to me. They want to.
Home sales are down 31% across America, and mortgage rates are on the rise. If your home is not selling, you need to call our experts right now at the Quick Cash Hotline. We have investors ready to pay you cash for your property, regardless of the condition it's in. Most of our closings can happen in about 7 days. You don't have to worry about a buyer getting approved. You don't have to worry about showing your home. One simple call right now. Just pick up the phone and call us. I'll give you the number in a second. We will negotiate with you a price to buy your home. It's that simple. If you're ready to sell your home right now, any home, any condition, and you don't want to put money into it, no problem. We'll buy it from you. Call right now. It's a free call.
800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. That's 800-470-7113.
On last week's From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
Chenis Berry, the head football coach at South Carolina State.
Winning games are important. They are very important. That's how I stay employed. I'm a man of God, and I don't run from it. When these young men went up and decided to give their life to Christ, when they made that choice, they wanted to take the next step. You know, a lot of people go up and join churches and say they want to give their life to Christ. They don't go and follow through. But these young men decided that the church that they went to, they actually wanted to get baptized. And to see nine of those young men be able to get baptized and me being the witness, that that was ultimately it for me. Winning games are extremely important. Winning souls are probably more important for me.
From the Press Box to Press Row is one of the hottest sports talk shows in the country. Join Donald each week as he takes you on a journey through the world of HBCU sports and pro sports and interviews with top sports and entertainment figures. That's From the Press Box to Press Row each week on your favorite station.
Listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to Box Row.
Box to Row.
Box to Row.
Box to Row.
She's the rich girl, but not the ordinary. Extraordinary. A little too much to carry. Possessed by a demon on a mission.
Welcome back to the program. You want to join us, you can hit us up via Twitter at Box to Row, BoxToRow, or on Facebook, BOX, the number 2ROW. In the next segment, going to be joined by Jackson State head football coach T.C. Taylor. A little bit later on in the program, going to be joined by former Grambling offensive lineman, HBCU All-American, now offensive lineman for the Washington Commanders, Trent Scott, here on the program. So, taking a look at week six, there are a couple of really intriguing games, especially in the CIAA. And it's interesting because you're through 5 weeks now of football. And when I look in the SIAC, there aren't many intriguing games. As a matter of fact, you know, you've got like Albany State's on a nice little bit of a winning streak here. They won the Golden Rams have won a couple of games here in a row. So it'll be interesting to see if the Golden Rams can keep that win streak up against Allen in Columbia, South Carolina. But really, I mean, there aren't a lot of great games, I think, overall. This week in the CIAA, there are some really, really, really good matchups that I think will go a long way to determining the champion in the CIAA. Remember, no more divisions. So now you have a situation where, you know, the best two teams will play in the championship game. When that happens, you kind of open yourself up to coin flips and who beat this team and all of those kinds of things, because really in the CIAA, there's a lot of parity right now. I mean, Johnson C. Smith is undefeated, obviously, but you know, you've got to, you know, Virginia Union, you know Virginia Union is going to rebound. And let me back up. So you got Johnson C. Smith undefeated. Winston-Salem State has been a very pleasant surprise. 4-1 on the season. Only loss was to A&T, took A&T to overtime in Greensboro. So, you know, you've got a Winston-Salem State team that is playing some really, really good football. Right now, speaking of Winston-Salem State, you talk about putting Winston-Salem State to the test. Well, the Rams are going to Richmond to take on Virginia Union, the defending CIAA champs. This could be any number of things. Could be a preview to the CIAA championship game. Very well could be. We've got a lot of football left to play. Johnson C. Smith currently undefeated. I'm going to talk about the Golden Bulls a little bit later on. But I think when you look at this Winston-Salem State team, this is going to be a true test. Not that the other games weren't, but this is going to be a tough matchup. You're talking about a well-coached Virginia Union team who has one of the best running backs in the country in Jada Byers. I'm going to be interested to see, because Winston-Salem State is pretty good up front in terms of putting pressure on the quarterback and stopping the run. I'm interested to see how the Rams do against that Virginia Union offensive line, which is solid, and against a guy like a Jada Byers. And then the other game in the CIAA is Johnson C. Smith and Virginia State. That game is in Charlotte. It's a home game for Johnson C. Smith. Look, Johnson C. Smith, a couple of weeks ago, very much tested. I think Johnson C. Smith has been tested. You know, I mean, the Golden Bulls are playing so well right now. You talk about from the quarterback position, the wide receiver position. You talk about on the defensive side of the football, like Johnson C. Smith is playing as well. Obviously, if you're undefeated, but I'm just saying on both sides of the football, as complete a team as there is in HBCU football. And you're talking about a Virginia State team that kind of got off to the slow start, but is coming off a win, got back into the win column on last week. And so that's going to be a really good football game as well. Again, in Charlotte, there's a lot of buzz in Charlotte around Johnson C. Smith. I remember for years, Johnson C. Smith was kind of dormant. There was no thought about Johnson C. Smith football. Basketball is a different story, but no really thought. And now, you know, you've got a team that's undefeated, and it's the only team in HBCU football that has won every game in which it has played. And so I think, you know, that's going to be a really, really good test, really, for both teams. But, I mean, if you're Johnson C. Smith, you want to keep that ball rolling and keep being or remaining undefeated with respect to your schedule. So the game of the week, I think, is Florida A&M at Alabama State. You're talking about a Florida A&M team that now has had a couple of byes. So, you know, Florida A&M on the season has had a couple of byes to this point. Didn't play last week because of the hurricane. Was scheduled to play Alabama A&M. That game has been moved to the end of the season. You know, I look at this Florida A&M team. I'm interested to see because the Rattlers have lost the last two ball games with byes coming in those previous weeks also. So that's interesting to me, and I wonder how FAMU is going to respond, particularly against an Alabama State team that had a nice victory over Bethune-Cookman last week. I mean, you could say, you know, Alabama State had to hold on. Not really. I mean, I think it was 26-22, I think, was the score. Alabama State won, but I think the score was closer than the game indicated. Alabama State got out to the quick lead and never really close. You know, Daniel Richardson, the quarterback, has played extremely well so far this season. You look at his numbers, you know, 6 touchdowns to 1 interception. I mean, he's completing 67% of his passes. Those are absolutely outstanding numbers. But he's going up against a really, really good Alabama State defense. Not only an Alabama State defense that's good as a whole, but has some really good individual players as well that are really, really good. You look at Rico Dozier, the linebacker. You got a couple of all-conference, you know, linebackers or all-conference linebacker, all-conference defensive lineman, and then all-conference players in the secondary. And to me, one of the concerns, if I'm the Rattlers, and has to be a concern for Coach Colsey, you know, has to be the lack of a ground game so far this year for Florida A&M, averaging less than 90 yards rushing as a team. I think that's an issue coming into this game against Alabama State because, you know, I think I think Richardson's going to have some success in terms of being able to throw the football because he has all season long. But in this scenario against a defense like that, you've got to be able to also establish the run because Alabama State, you know, on the back end, is very solid on the back end. So I think that's an issue for, you know, certainly for Florida A&M coming into this game. Look at it from the other side of the football. And when I look at Florida A&M, you know, certainly from a defensive standpoint, it's also a team that's giving up a lot of yards. Now, I realize they played a couple of FBS opponents. A lot of those yards were given up against Miami. But from a numbers perspective, giving up a bunch of yards, I know that's got to be a concern for Coach Colsey. Now, if I look on the other side of the football with respect to Alabama State, you know, from in terms of being able to really pass the football, and you know, you thought that the Hornets had the quarterback coming in with Andrew Boddy. Obviously, he's out for the season. You know, Zach Sims was the guy last week, threw a touchdown pass, didn't throw an interception, and the Hornets only threw 12 passes. But again, I look at the rushing for Alabama State against Bethune-Cookman, and I realize Bethune-Cookman is struggling right now. But Alabama State ran the football for 300 and some yards. I think even though in the SWAC, we've known the SWAC to have aerial attacks, you still have to be able to establish the run. Alabama State, I think, has proven it can, and I think will establish the run against Florida A&M, while on the other side, Florida A&M has not been able to establish the run. And I think that's where there's going to be the difference in the football game. That said, it is a home game for Alabama State. And I know, I think you're going to have a good crowd. Alabama State fans are going to come out and support. You're going to get some Florida A&M fans that are going to make the drive. I don't think it's a terribly long drive. I'm not 100% sure about that. But that are going to make the drive to Montgomery for this football game. I like Alabama State in the game because Alabama State is going to do a better job of establishing the run. And I think while Richardson's been hot, and I think he's not going to slow down in this football game, I think it's going to be Alabama State's defense is going to be enough to be able to help lead the Hornets to a victory. Your thoughts, you can hit me up via Twitter at BoxToRow, BoxToRow, and give me your thoughts on who you think will win the Florida A&M and Alabama State game. Again, we've got a number of different games on the Week 6 schedule, and to find out about those games, you can log on to BoxToRow.com and get the entire schedule. Still to come here on Box to Row, Trent Scott, offensive lineman for the Washington Commanders, going to join us on the program. And up next here on the program, T.C. Taylor, the head football coach at Jackson State, also going to join us here on Box to Row. Your participation always warranted here. Hit us up via Twitter at Box to Row, BoxToRow. Follow us while you're there. And on Facebook, BOX, the number 2, ROW. As mentioned, TC Taylor joins us next. This is your weekly edition of the HBCU Blitz presented by Box to Row. I'm Donald Ware. First, I'm going to take you to Dallas for an outstanding State Fair Classic matchup between the Grambling Tigers and the Prairie View A&M Panthers. We're going to move to the fourth quarter with less than 60 seconds remaining. Grambling with possession and trailing by a touchdown.
Miles Crawley will fake the handoff, and it is a touchdown! Grambling State University, Jalen Johnson will reel it in, and Grambling State University need one more extra point to tie this game up.
From 12 yards out, the extra point was good, and we were headed to overtime tied at 24. The Tigers would receive the first possession in overtime.
When Deidre Talbert comes in, that means they are about to steamroll somebody, and that's exactly what is going on. Talbert with the 10-5, and touchdown, Grambling State University.
From 16 yards out, and the extra point was good, the Tigers led 31-24. The Panthers had an opportunity to match.
We'll see a route run across the middle, and a receiver wide open for Prairie View, and that will be a touchdown.
Shamar Savage's 4-yard touchdown pass from Jaden Johnson. The Panthers' extra point was good, and we were tied at 31 apiece, headed for a second overtime. As a matter of fact, a third overtime, a fourth overtime, and a fifth overtime as Grambling failed to score. Prairie View A&M with an opportunity to win it.
This is now or never for Prairie View. A&M pistol formation, motions over a receiver, hands it off down the middle, and that is in. Prairie View will win it.
That was the understudy, OJ Morris, on the Grambling Sports Radio Network. Lamaji McDowell's 2-yard touchdown run was the difference as the Panthers defeated Grambling 36-34 in 5 overtimes. To Ettrick, Virginia, for CIAA showdown between the Virginia State Trojans and the Fayetteville State Broncos. Let's pick things up in the first quarter. No score. Fayetteville State driving.
Fake by Owens. Back to throw. Looks left. Now he's under pressure. Was hit as he threw, and it's caught down the far sideline. Inside the 10. Inside the 5. Don't see a signal yet. Touchdown.
19-yard touchdown reception by Khalil Ashley Diarra, and the Broncos had the 7-0 lead. We're going to remain in the fourth quarter. Virginia State now with possession and looking to tie the game.
Romello Williams back to throw. Fires it left side in the end zone. Caught by Kevin Gales. Touchdown, Virginia State.
And we were tied at 7 apiece. We're going to move to late in the first half. Virginia State with the 21-10 lead, looking for more.
Romello Williams back to throw. Steps up. Fires it deep. Has Kevin Gales made the catch at the 20. 10-5. Touchdown, Virginia State. 63 yards.
My man, John Emmett, on the VSU Sports Network. The Trojans got back in the win column, went on to defeat Fayetteville State 35-18. To Orangeburg, South Carolina, for an old MEAC rivalry between North Carolina A&T and South Carolina State. Let's move to with about 8 minutes remaining in the second quarter. The Aggies trailing 10-3 and possession.
The offensive lineman, Fombi, play fake. He's looking. He's got a man, Caldwell. The pass is caught in the end zone. Touchdown, Aggies.
From 26 yards, and the Aggies tied the game at 10 apiece, but A&T wasn't done.
Bobby gonna throw the football. He's got time. Fires. He has a man caught at the 5, now in the end zone. Touchdown, Aggies.
Early in the third quarter, Anthony Rucker from 29 yards, and the Aggies had the 17-10 lead. The lead would be short-lived as the Bulldogs would tie the game on a 2-yard touchdown run by KZ Adams with 7:55 remaining in the third. Then on South Carolina State's next possession.
Innis claps his hands, now looks to the near sideline. 14 seconds on the play clock. As he has the snap, it's a play fake. Looking, he's looking down the left side, and it's going to be caught. A one-handed catch and a touchdown for South Carolina State.
Yours truly and Al Swan on the Aggie Sports Radio Network. DeAndre Ruffin's 33-yard touchdown pass gave the Bulldogs the lead as the Bulldogs would go on to defeat the Aggies 45-25. Box to Row, the radio show, airs weekly on radio stations across the country. For more information, visit boxtorow.com. The Jackson State Tigers on the season, I tell you what, playing some pretty good football, 3-2 on the season, ranked number 4 in the coaches poll and number 3 in the media poll. In his second season as the head football coach of the JSU Tigers is T.C. Taylor, as he joins us once again on Box Throw. As a matter of fact, the Tigers have a game on Saturday in Mobile, Alabama, against Alabama A&M. Again, T.C. Taylor joining us here on the program. What's going on, Coach Taylor?
Not much, man. How you doing, man? Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me. I'm excited about it and looking forward to another big game this weekend. But everything's going well right now.
Good. I'm glad it is. And I would say so. Look, I mean, you're 3-2 on the season, but 1-0 in conference play. Sure, you had a little bit of, you had a hiccup against Grambling, but I guess fortunate enough it wasn't a conference game. Am I right by saying that you're playing some pretty good football right now?
Oh, definitely. You look back way back at the Monroe game, you know, out opponent FBS game. I thought we played well, made huge strides in that game and came back, you know, dominated Lane, played well against Southern. Did have the big letdown in Grambling, but I thought that was, you know, a lot of times as coaches, you say that was needed. That was needed. It humbled us, you know, got us back grounded, and we came back this past weekend and really dominated a good Texas Southern football team. So we're doing some good things right now, offensively, defensively. We're looking strong. very pleased with our special teams right now. You know, we got a big return last week from a true freshman, Travis Terrell. So we got things going in the right direction, but we got to stay consistent. You know, that's the thing I tell my guys. You know, we want to stay consistent with this program and, you know, continue to take it one game at a time.
Your field goal kickers made 7 of 8. You've got one of the best punters in the country, and Matt Knowles averaging in excess of 41 yards per punt. But his plus 50 punts and his punts inside the 20 are really key. It's interesting you mentioned Texas Southern, right? Good football team. You handled them. But what's interesting to me is the game before that, you had Grambling, but the game before that was the rivalry game against Southern. So you had the Grambling game sandwich in between your rivalry game and then a dangerous team. What exactly happened in that Grambling game?
We just played uncharacteristic football. If you look at the statistics, you know, once I saw the stats at the end of that game, I'm not going to lie to you, I was sick to my stomach. You know, we almost outgained them by 200 yards. We're not a team that gets penalized a lot, and we had 11 penalties in that game. And then the turnovers, you know, the turnovers, we were up and down the field. We, you know, led by far in explosive plays. We had a lot of explosive plays in that game, but you just can't go out there and give them 20 points off turnovers for as an offense. You know, and that's what I thought the difference in that game, the penalties. And our defense did let them score the first two drives of that football game, but after that, they were stellar. You know, week in, week out, they get after opponent's offense, and they did it in that game, but we didn't give them what we needed to for as an offensive, you know, football team in that weekend, as far as the turnovers and stuff. And then again, I've been harping on the penalties. You know, the week before we played Southern, I don't think we had 3 penalties in that game, maybe 4. Then to come back and turn around and get 11 penalties, that was the difference in the game. But we did everything we wanted to do with the game plan. Everything was there. It's just the turnovers in that football game and the penalties.
So you were at Grambling, at Texas Southern. What was the message? What was the message to the team after the loss to Grambling to regroup to play a good Southern team or a good Texas Southern team?
Yeah, anytime after a loss, you try to go see why you lost that football game. And that was the emphasis going into that Texas Southern week. Again, we got to take care of the football. You know, we do ball security drills every day here as a program. You know, we practice taking away the football on our defense, but we really started to emphasize it more to the players. We put on the far as a cut up of those penalties, each and every one of them. And we, you know, not so much as beat the players down about it. You know, let's correct it this week and watch what this football game, the outcome of this football game will be.
That the voice, of course, of T.C. Taylor. He's the head football coach at Jackson State in his second season as he joins us here on Box to Row. You had been playing a two-quarterback system, Jacobian Morgan, Cameron McCoy. I know that McCoy had some injuries the last couple of weeks. Did Jacobian perhaps, because he played the entire game, did he perhaps separate himself as the clear starter for you moving forward?
Yeah, I think he solidified himself this past weekend. And let me say, he's been playing good football all year. He did have the game against Grambling where he threw the pick six. And, he just threw an interception. And he had the fumble return for a touchdown snap he should have caught. But I called him in after that and I told him, I said, listen, in order for this football team to be successful, we got to, you know, you got to lead us there. You know, we had a great meeting that Sunday after that game. We met for about an hour and a half. And just talked about, you know, a bunch of stuff other than football, you know, what he wanted out of this. And I told him, I said, we're going to put this team on your shoulders. He went out against Texas Southern and played lights out. You know, he did. He had a great football game. He had a great practice leading up into that game, too. He did have the one turnover in there where he didn't protect the football. Had a strip fumble right there. But other than that, you know, he was explosive in that game. Even the long run, that shocked me. That's something that, he'll give you 15, maybe 20 yards. But for him to take that to the house, you know, he showed a lot of growth. And his teammates needed to see it. You know, once they seen it, you know, some of the throws he was making were lights out. So, you know, he's the guy that, you know, I told him we want to put this team on your shoulders. You know, you get us there and together we'll get this done.
14 points against Louisiana Monroe, even in the loss to Grambling, you had 20 points. You're scoring points, and the offense is averaging 400, almost right at 400 yards a game. How potent is this offense?
It's we talk about the Knicks man up right now. You know, we're down a Rico Powers, a Fabian McCray, all conference receiver, a Kobe Paul, but it's just that it's always the Knicks man up, but very explosive with the return of Irv Mulligan, JD Martin, those guys back in the lineup. The things Travis Terrell is doing, we got a tight end here that's really good. Marvin Landry is making explosive plays, but it all starts with those big hogs up front. You know, the things that Coach Manny Ramirez is doing with our offensive line, they got great size. They got great footwork, and, you know, they're blocking and changing and controlling the line of scrimmage for us. And we got a host of guys that can make plays. So I still don't think you've seen our best yet for as an offensive football team.
And then defensively, I mean, you're holding teams to just a little bit more than 100 yards rushing per game past the – I mean, when you're talking about college football in 2024 and you're holding – teams under 200 and you're at 164 in terms of pass defense. I mean, that's pretty good. You got to be pleased with the way your defense is playing also.
They playing awesome. Again, we talk about the offensive line, you know, the backbone on the offense, but it's that defensive line and those linebackers over there. They really take it upon themselves to take away the run from teams, and they've been doing a good job of that. Week in, week out, they do a great job. And when they're rushing the passer like that and getting to the quarterback, it makes it easy for our secondary. And we got some talented guys back there as well. But that was a big emphasis for us. I thought in the offseason if we could recruit well at the linebacker position, because those D linemen was already in place. You know, the D line was in place. But you add a Reed Pulliam, an Ashton Taylor to the mix at the linebacker position, I knew we could be an elite defense. And also, hats off to Coach Quinn, you know, first-time defensive coordinator. He has been doing a great job of teaching these guys in the ins and outs of the defense and the things he want to do. Very aggressive defensive coordinator. So, you know, as a unit, all these new coaches we got over there, they've been doing a heck of a job.
T.C. Taylor, again, in his second season as the head football coach at Jackson State, joins us here on the program. Coach Taylor, your third game on the road. This time in Mobile against an Alabama A&M team that is dangerous. You know Connell Maynard is going to come to play, particularly offensively. What concerns you most about the Bulldogs?
They got an explosive offense. You know, they do. The quarterbacks, they play about three different guys, but they can really throw the football around. They're always talented. You know this at the receiver position. They always have some guys that are talented there. And they got a big offensive line. This is going to be a real challenge for our defensive line, the group we were just talking about. You know, they got some size at, you know, both tackle positions, the guard, center. They're really big guys. So we want to see how well they can move. Defensively, you know, they got some guys on the defensive line that has good size, runs well. Two linebackers that I think they can really play. And then you just talked about it. You know, they got a well-established head coach. Carnell Maynard is a winner. He's always been a winner. So he's going to have those guys fired up. The good thing I'd like about it, though, you know, it's a neutral site. You know, it's a neutral site down in Mobile. So we're looking forward to it. And this will be, I think, year three or four for this, the Gulf Coast Challenge. So we're excited about it. I look forward to the matchup. But I know Coach Maynard, though, he'll have them ready to play, and he'll have a few tricks up his sleeve.
What did you learn last year maybe about yourself as the season went on? I mean, look, 7-4, I mean, that's a winning record. It's a solid season. Last year, as a first-year head coach that you've now carried into this second season?
If I just keep going about it the way that I started, we're going to be okay as a program. You know, we're continuing to build this program. We continue to recruit as a high level. But people already know we lost a lot of coaches off last year, team and players. I had to go out and, you know, revamp the coaching staff and Coach O did a great job of revamping his coaching staff. Very excited about the staff we have in place. But, you know, sky's the limit. We're growing. We're a growing program. You think back to that year one, you know, I was hearing a lot about all the players that we lost. And for us to come out that first year and be competitive the way we were right there in a lot of football games. And we, you know, our goals were to go play for in a Celebration Bowl, win a SWAC championship. No different this year, but we're steady building. We're steady recruiting at a high level, and we got this thing going in the right direction.
Do you talk with or still talk with Coach Sanders by chance?
We text. I know that a couple weeks ago I texted him, you know, good luck on the game. He responded right back. It's more in the offseason, though. This time of the year is kind of tough. With you know, he got a lot of pressure on him over there to get things done. He's having a great season, and vice versa here. You know how the Jackson State, you know, Army is here. So just tough to, you know, get on the phone as much, but we do send texts every once in a while. In the off season, we'll try to get together and get some fishing done again.
Yeah, no doubt. And I know you relish in that challenge. Last thought, what does it mean to be the head football coach, having the success that you're having so far at your alma mater?
It means everything. It means everything to you know, I walk these same halls. I played on at the Vet like these guys, and I tell them, I remind them that all the time. Like a game like playing A&M this weekend, I remember the battles having against the Alabama A&M, the Gremlins, and everything. But it means the world. You know, that's why I just want to continue to grow this program in the right way. And I understand the responsibility for success. You know, these fans do an awesome job of supporting us here. Our AD, Ashley Robinson, is one of the best in the country. Our new president, President Thompson, does a great job with us. Getting us the things we need to be successful. And, you know, that's the challenge for me. If I got that kind of support, we're recruiting the type of players we're recruiting, getting the right coaches in here, we're going to continue to be successful.
T.C. Taylor, again, in his second season as the head football coach at Jackson State, he joins us here on Box to Row. The Tigers are on the road in a classic game on Saturday in Mobile, Alabama, against Alabama A&M. Coach Taylor, as always, appreciate the time. Continued success to you and the Tigers.
Thank you. I appreciate it, man. It means a lot. Thanks for having me.
Commanders offensive lineman Trent Scott is up next.
On the way, it's more of From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware. Right here.
If you have diabetes, listen up. If you have insurance, you can qualify for a continuous glucose monitor. With a CGM, you can continuously track your levels and trends and spend more time in range, significantly lowering your A1C. More importantly, a CGM eliminates the one thing most people with diabetes hate, painful finger sticks. Order your new continuous glucose monitor today. If you use insulin and if you've seen your diabetes care provider within the last 6 months, you may qualify for your own CGM right now. We'll do all the insurance paperwork and deliver your new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost to you. Medicare and most insurances will cover your CGM, so don't wait. Have your insurance handy and call the Aptiva Medical CGM Health Hotline right now.
800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. That's 800-946-6813.
Now, back to From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
Washington wants them to reset the play clock. They don't. With 3 seconds left, Daniels flips. He's got another, and this time it's Trent Scott. The big tackle was the extra offensive lineman. And what a night for the Commanders.
We're going to continue here on the program, joined by a gentleman. As a matter of fact, he's in his seventh season in the National Football League. He is currently with the Washington Commanders. The Commanders are 3-1 on the season, have a home tilt on Sunday against the Browns. He played his collegiate football at Grambling, where he was an HBCU All-American. Last time we talked with him, which was 3 years ago, he was Trenton Scott. Now he's Trent Scott. He joins us here on the program. What's going on, Trent?
What's going on, man?
Man, it's good to have you. I got to start here. Look, everybody was talking about the touchdown reception that you had from Jaden Daniels, the first of your career, the first of his career. Just take us through that and, you know, the excitement after you made the catch.
Oh, man, talk about a dream come true as a kid, man. You know, big man always dream of getting that play called, and we had it up the first couple of weeks, and even when it's up, man, you never know if you're really gonna get a chance. So when they finally called it, man, I really was in shock for like 3 seconds on the sideline. So just went out there, man, and then to be wide open like that, ball felt like it was in the air forever. But incredible moment, man, celebrating, especially you know being in prime time and being a celebrator, and especially get the win.
Yeah, Monday Night Football a couple of weeks ago against the Bengals. So. When you said it seemed like the ball was in the air for a long time, you had to think about it when the play came in. I guess you weren't trying to overthink the process because it was just a simple catch, but maybe a lot was going through your mind.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not a lot, but it's just, like I said, every lineman you have that play up, and we had ran a few plays from the goal line already in the game, and you don't know how many chances you're gonna get down there. And we did, you know, I think Terry or it might have been Noah who got the PI down there on the goal line, and so they called it up, and it actually happened exactly how it happened at practice. Nobody was over there, so just executed to the T.
For the cues, right? Is it like an, I don't know, is it a written, is it an unwritten mandate that if you get into the end zone, you gotta do the celebration, right?
You gotta set it out, man. That was the just second nature. Coach Cliff told me last time we ran it at practice, he said, "Hey, you gotta have a celebration ready." I said, "Oh, I can do that in my sleep. I can do that in my sleep." I already knew what I was gonna do.
Yeah, I guess they in the announcers, of course, they had no idea.
We had to fill them in a little bit.
Yeah. So that was really cool. So what do you do, man? Like, what you come to? What exactly do you say to the referee? Because you have to report as an eligible receiver. Yep. So is it that simple? What do you actually say to the ref when you get out there?
Yeah, you got to come in and kind of like flag down your numbers and let the head referee know that you're eligible, so he can announce it to the defense, let them know you're an eligible player. But we were moving so fast, and the defense was kind of, you know, confused for a second, so we kind of caught them off guard a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, no doubt. Trent Scott again in his seventh season in the National Football League. He's currently with the Washington Commanders. He joins us here on the program. Speak to how well this Commanders offense is playing.
I think just doing a good job of being efficient right now, and just I think it speaks to the preparation during the week and focusing on situational. You know, I think week one we were having some success but kind of stalling out in the red zone. So just cleaning some of that stuff up and trying to be efficient on first and second downs and keeping us out of third and long situations has helped us be more efficient on offense.
And then it really all seemingly came together this past Sunday against the Cardinals when you put up 40, I think it was 42 points or whatever it was, yep, in excess of 40 points.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, when you can move the ball and, you know, keep the chains moving on third down, convert your third down conversions and score points in the red zone, is you know, it's a recipe for good offense. And hand in hand, you keep the defense on the sideline, let them stay fresh, and good job playing complimentary football.
Yeah, speak to how well Jaden Daniels, not only he's playing, but you're talking about four games into his career. These aren't little dink and dunk passes where he's averaging in excess of 81% completion percentage. I mean, it's not like you're lofting it down the football all the time, but these are substantial, yep, passes that he's making to complete 81% of them.
Once again, I think it just speaks to his preparation during the week, the same things you guys see from him on Sunday. He's making those same passes during the week in our walkthroughs and our practices, and he's locked in on, you know, the progressions at the receivers. And he's, you know, you can tell that he's really intentional about the work he puts in, and it all comes to life on Sunday. So we're not surprised. A lot of times we see on film some plays happening exactly how we rep them at practice. So it just speaks to, like I said, that intentional practice and focusing on it during the week.
Trent Scott, of course, offensive lineman for the Washington Commanders, joining us for a couple of more minutes here on the program. For you, how well are you getting? You know, you had a couple of years, you know, with the Chargers, you know, with the Panthers and so forth. How are you getting settled in Washington?
It's been it was a process the first year. Moving to D.C., I had never been in D.C., but, I mean, it's an awesome city. The fan base is showing a lot of life and just showing a lot of support, and I'm excited about the home game coming up. We had a lot of support in Arizona, and they showed up and showed out, and just the city has been super welcoming to me, and you know, my family's up here, my daughter's in school, and so it's, that process has been pretty good.
Yeah, can you speak to sort of the business side? You went undrafted in 2018, and again, been with a couple of teams, and you know, you've been able to, you know, sustain and still playing in, but it's always when it comes to the National Football League, unlike college, college is sort of becoming business like, but it's a true business.
Yeah. I think it's just, the cliche of control what you can control is just, that's been embedded in me my whole career. And that's just, kind of how I go about it. Just try to focus on that, and you know, any situation that I get in, just staying prepared and sticking to my process. So whenever I do get my opportunities, I can take the most of it.
Would it have not been nice for you if NIL was around when you were at, matter of fact, you spent five seasons at Grambling. One of those years you were hurt. I know you would have. Would it have been nice?
College football is in a different place right now. NIL, man, you know, I appreciate it. I got appreciation for, you know, the athletes deserve to get paid, and it would have been nice. You know, it definitely would have been nice because I had a different college experience on that end. But you know, when you don't know, you don't know. So we didn't even think about it like that then. You know, we made the most of what we had, and it actually gave me a real appreciation for, you know, the small things, really. So, but yeah, and a little NIL would have been nice.
No doubt. So, man, what do you remember most about those days at Grambling?
Just how close-knit that environment was. It was just, it truly was like a family atmosphere. And then, you know, those Saturdays in the hole and packed stadiums and the fans on the sideline, on the field, and just I don't think it's any. I mean, I know I'm probably biased, but that atmosphere, you know, I just fell in love with it. And so I got a true appreciation for that, and still got appreciation for Grambling. And anytime I get a chance to support them and go back, you know, I always have a special place for them.
Yeah, do you still kind of keep up with not only Grambling, but some of what's going on in the SWAC currently?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I was tuned in last weekend watching us. We didn't pull it off, but I was tuned in watching us go against Prairie View in the State Fair Classic last weekend, man. Yeah, that's a big one. I used to like playing in that one. And so, yeah, I'm tuned in with the guys, and I'm rooting for them and hoping they have a good season.
That was bananas, five overtimes?
That's crazy. That is crazy. You know, talk about I hope they kept up with the hydration. Because, I mean, and that's in Dallas, Texas. It ain't no joke.
You never played in a five overtime game.
No, I don't think we made it. We had a couple, but no. Nah, and then, you know, the rules change now. They can go back and forth for a while now, but we didn't make it that far.
Yeah. Last thought, we was
putting whoopings on people when I was at Grambling.
That's true. 2016 HBCU Nash. Now, were you playing that year? You weren't hurt that year.
Yeah, I was playing that year, okay. 2016. Yep.
Yeah, it was a big game, big win over Central. You know, Celebration Bowl and all of that.
Yes, sir.
Great times. Last thought. The Browns Northwest Field.
Yep.
You know, this weekend, your thoughts on the Browns and some of the challenges they present.
Of course, you know, you got one of the premier pass rushers in Myles Garrett, and good stout defense up front. And really overall. And so, you know, just gotta stick to our preparation and not ride the wave and, you know, listen to the outside noise, but just stick to what we've been doing and come in and just try to attack and do our same game plan on offense, try to be efficient, score points in the red zone, and try to get us a win here at home.
Yeah. Trent Scott again in his seventh season in the National Football League, second with the Washington Commanders, joining us here on the program. The Commanders host the Browns on Sunday at Northwest Field. Or stadium.
Yep.
Hey, Trent, you know, man, I grew up in the DMV, man. It was always FedEx. I can't remember if it's field or stadium or whatever it is, but it's all good.
I know it's been an adjustment for a lot of things around here. The team name changes, now the field name change. So I know the true fans have been dealing with a lot of change.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, man, we appreciate the time. Continued success to you and the Commanders.
I appreciate that, man.
Appreciate you, Trent. Trent Scott joining us here on the program. Look, my time is about up. I thank you for yours. Thank you to Trent Scott for joining us today. Also, thank you to T.C. Taylor, the head football coach at Jackson State, for also joining us today here on Box to Row. Don't forget, Box to Row's countdown to 20 is in full effect, and we're replaying some of our most memorable conversations over the almost 20 years now that Box to Row has been on the air, and the new episodes come out on the Box to Row YouTube channel every Monday and Friday. So go to the Box to Row YouTube channel, subscribe while you're there, and watch some of those great conversations that we've had over the almost 20 years that Box to Row has been on the air. And for more information on Box to Row, log on to our website, boxtorow.com. And always remember to support those that support Yo Box to Row is produced by DW Communications.
I can promise you forever. That's right. You got it. It don't belong to anyone but you. Hey, if there's a question of my love, you got it. Baby, don't worry, I got plans for you. Yeah, baby, I've been